I am presenting this information for the picture you see there. That's Bob Beattie, Farm Advisor Emeritus. He and I grew up together with the pistachio industry. Okay? Just to tell you a little bit about pistachios, Pistacia vera, it's a temperate deciduous tree. It's dioecious, separate males and females. Apically, both the vegetative and the fruiting pattern are quite apically dominant. It bears its crop on leafless, one-year-old wood, so the carbohydrate support after bloom is primarily wood storage until the newly developed shoot you see there apically on the fruit. There's the inflorescence. Basically comes from the shoots, the leaves that are distal to it. And there you see a male issuing pollen from the male catkin on a separate tree, about one male to 25 females. It is quite alternate bearing, as is most our tree crops, but because a big pistachio tree will have 200 to 300 shoots, they can synchronize over time and result in quite an alternate bearing pattern. Okay? This is what a shoot looks like after it develops. As I said, I never liked using this whole thing, but back here, the nuts are born on leafless wood, so after the storage in this wood is exhausted, the support comes from the leaves out here. There in the alternating leaves is the bud for next year's crop. Okay? I guess I decided to show you a little square. Okay? There's another very distinct thing about pistachios. It has first a stage of shell enlargement inside that shell shortly about half a month to a month after pollination. This little green, an arrow. This little green thing is your fertilized embryo at the end of the spongy funicular tissue. The other arrow shows you the endocarp, the shell. And beyond that, the pericarp, made of the exocarp and the mesocarp. Same thing as it's a drupe, botanically. By June, the nut is starting to grow. Late June, about 1,000 degree day accumulation after bloom, this starts to grow, grows through July, goes through August, and as the nut starts growing, again, late June, about 1,000 to 1,200 degree days, what's going to happen is those buds in the alternating leaves on the distal growth start to drop off. We don't know why it happens. We think it's probably in response. One, the trees that had good nuts bore and people propagated basically were the ones that were then propagated commercially. We probably removed all the restraints that it had as a wild tree, insect, competition for light, lack of water. So we basically encouraged a very large crop, like you see there on the one-year-old wood. And we hypothesize, lots of good data, but nobody's put the whole picture together experimentally, that probably the carbohydrate situation triggers a growth regulator signal that causes the abscission of the buds. There's evidence as far back as the 80s of girdling between those two shoots will deter bud drop, but that shoot, the bud will not produce well in the following year. I used a little 2,4-D on it because that's what I did for my PhD to deter grapefruit abscission. The buds remained on, poorly productive. So this is the visible mechanism of alternate bearing, but it is not the total mechanism in terms of cause. Alternate bearing, really severe. Here's some data from an old experiment, Kern County, 1985 to 1991. But here you can see the crop. Look at that 1989 date like there, right there. Less than 0.2 pounds per tree versus as much as 37 pounds per tree. Alternate bearing is indicated by a pure number or pure number on a zero of scale of 0 to 1. The higher the number, the higher the alternate bearing. This was a control. This was the control for an experiment that I did when I first came to California way back in the early 80s, my second year there. And I basically hypothesized that, these trees are very apically dominant. The flowering and the fruiting is only I'm at 200 or 300 shoots per tree. Maybe if I could produce, as they age, they synchronize within the tree. I have hypothesized, well, maybe if I cut a bunch of them off indiscriminately, since I watched the pruners and I didn't think they were doing anything specific either, that if I maybe hedged and topped these trees, I could produce a better mix of bearing and non-bearing shoots. I wasn't going to defeat alternate bearing, I was just going to mix up the shoots. So basically did a series of 2 or 3 experiments down in Kern County with Joe Maranto, who's one of the breeders that works with Dan Parfit. And our results demonstrated to us, one, that of combining, I did mechanical topping, we did mechanical topping, mechanical hedging and topping, mechanical hedging, and a hand prune treatment. What we found out was, not surprisingly, topping was the most effective treatment because the buds were, most of the really the strongly fruiting shoots were in the top of the tree, up in the light. And the interesting thing was it was most effective going into the low crop year. And also my reasoning was we did both years, going into the on and off year, but there's a pretty heavy compensation effect within the cluster on pistachios, even on neighboring shoots. If you remove some of the clusters, the remaining ones will tend to fill more nuts per cluster. We published this back in the 80s. Now, over the years, this fellow and I, Bob Beattie, have had a very friendly, oh, by the way, that experiment was done on Atlantica, on Kerman on Atlantica rootstock. That was the traditional rootstock back then. So this guy and I have had a very friendly argument over the years. I kept saying, there's only 2 reasons to prune a tree. One is horticultural operations. The other is maximizing bearing surface or defeating alternate bearing. And he kept saying, Louise, pruning takes away buds. Taking away buds decreases crop. I said, you're right, but these are my numbers. So over the years, we've had a very friendly argument going on about this. He says it just doesn't make sense that pruning going into an even low crop year, making a low crop lower, is going to result in better bearing. Now, in this experiment, basically, over 7 years, the 2 heavy mechanical pruning years entering the off year resulted in approximately an equal yield to the hand control. However, I have to admit, I only ran it 7 years. I should have run it 8 for total alternate bearing cycles. Okay? So anyhow, Bob and I continued to argue about this over the years, and meanwhile, my growers are telling me, you know, we aren't seeing as much alternate bearing, Louise. And I attributed it, of course, to mechanical pruning. And I wasn't thinking that much about, you know, other things are changing, okay? So Bob and I had this plot, the Kerniak Station, established 1989. It had 10 blocks of 40 rootstocks each. Of 40 rootstocks, 10 of each of the seedling rootstocks we had at that point in time. So 100 total replications of each rootstock. We used this trial to establish yield on the 4 rootstocks and alternate bearing. I said, well, we got this trial. Let's redo the pruning in there, okay? So we basically repeated the earlier trial, except we can probably never publish this because there is no hand-pruned control. And also, I want to say at this point in time, there is no total mechanical pruning. You always have to do some hand pruning for a little better light interception to remove flat branches. The rootstocks in this trial are the Atlantica, the single species. That PG1 is a single species, the Integrarima. The UCB1 on the end is the Atlantica mother and the Integrarima pollen parent. The one called PG2 is the reciprocal cross released by a nursery at that point in time called Pioneer Nursery. So basically what we did was we repeated the same trial with no hand prune control because we were past that. We did it entering the on year and entering the off year. This is what we found. Okay, I'm going to start over on the far side here, pounds per acre at 128 trees per acre. When we concluded this trial in 2012, we got approximately the same ranking for yield per acre on these rootstocks. I'm just giving you the yield here to show you that it confirmed the results of our earlier rootstock trial. Trees on the Atlantica rootstock, If I pruned it before the on year, had a 0.79 alternate bearing index and about 3,500 pounds the acre. If I pruned it entering the off year, we cracked the alternate bearing index down to 0.41, and it got slightly more, but almost 500 pounds per acre more, an average of 3,800 pounds per acre, which is about what we got before. The Integrarima, the other single species rootstock, and where is my little arrow, had an average of 4,700, these are seedling rootstocks, by the way, had an average of 4,700 pounds to the acre. If I pruned before, where is that little thing? If I pruned topped and hedged going into the on year, 4,500 pounds per acre, slightly more, 4,900 pounds per acre. Where is this little thing? 4,900 pounds per acre if I pruned before the off year. Note again that I cracked the alternate bearing index from 0.55 to 0.21. Here was the big surprise in the trial. Not in the yields between the seedling runs of the trees on the PG2 or the PG1 rootstock. This is what we found back then. This was a six-year trial. Over the six-year trial, the trees on the PG2 rootstock, the third one down, averaged about 5,400 pounds per acre, whether I pruned it going into the on or the off year. The UCB1, same thing. If I pruned it before the on or the off year, had an alternate bearing index about 0.9 to 0.31 and averaged about 5,600 pounds to the acre. The yield results are approximately what we got when we terminated the trial in 1995. The real shocker was after all these years of preaching that alternate bearing was under the control of the Scion, I can see that the vigor of the two hybrid rootstocks had an effect on the alternate bearing index. And what I was attributing to my mechanical pruning was actually partially a change with the rootstock in the industry. Now, there's some real implications for this. But, you know, Bob was all excited when I calculated. He called me and said, hey, the 1995 data was correct. I said, that's good. But what we're finding is the rootstock does affect the vigor of the Scion, and it looks like I can't go into it now, but basically what I'm going to say is look at the trees on the UCB and the PG2 rootstocks. They have successive flushes of growth. They have neoformed growth. After that first shoot of growth, after flowering, they then have two and three more successive flushes of growth. After those flushes of growth are no longer constructing themselves, they become net producers of carbohydrates, which probably add to the carbohydrate storage in the tree. I have trunk measurements that support this. So basically, it looks like the vigor of the rootstock combined with the mechanical pruning, the vigor of the rootstock overcomes the alternate bearing tendency because there is more carbohydrate storage. We haven't put it all together in one experiment, but that's our hypothesis. And I'll just finish by saying thank you to Bob, whose idea it was to do this trial, and it settled a 25-year running argument. Thank you very much. I thought I was being told.
No.
Thought I was being told to sit down. So I think the most interesting thing about this is it rejiggered our ideas about alternate bearing, that rootstock can have an effect on it. Right now, our experience with runts in the field, like Evelina was talking about, in my experience, runs 5 to 10% in the field. Early on, it wasn't so many runts with UCB1 because there wasn't as much a demand for rootstocks. Now we have a lot of rogue rootstock producers, and they aren't as good as some of the established nurseries over the years that more carefully rogued their product. The only other big change in the pistachio industry is we used to put out a seedling rootstock and bud in the field. It's looking like it's as orchards get larger and larger and larger and people don't want to bother with a bud failure in the field, we're going to start putting out budded trees because they're easier to deal with and probably letting more of the rootstock growth, because the Scion's very slow growing, doesn't have a lot of leaf surface area, probably going to work with letting the rootstock leaves proliferate on the bottom, try and balance that leaf surface area with our herbicide treatments for weed control. Any questions about pistachios?
One question.
Oh, darn. No questions? I'd leave you with Bob Beatty, pistachio horticulturist extraordinaire, now retired and consulting happily in California.